tell you, I will not eat it again until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. This is my body, which is broken for you. This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me. But one of you, here at the table, is going to betray me.
It isn't me. I would never do such a thing.
Of course it's not you. You're so much greater than the rest of us, aren't you?
Well, what if I am the greatest?
Is it right? Do you think it's best?
Look.
You do not realize now what I am doing. But later, you will understand.
No. No, Lord. You can't wash my feet. This is servant's work. You are the master.
Unless I wash your feet, you have no part in me. Judas. What you are about to do, do quickly. Do you understand what I've done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. But now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I will be with you only a little longer.
Lord, where are you going?
Simon, you can't come where I'm going, but you will follow later.
But why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you.
Will you really lay down your life for me? Before the rooster crows this morning, you will have denied me 3 times. But I have prayed for you. My children, I'm giving you a new commandment. Love one another in the same way I have loved you. Then everyone will know that you are my disciples. Come, let us all go to the garden.
I think everybody must love Lego. There's a wonderful hush has come over the place. Could I ask the boys and girls and the young people as well to come up? We're going to help. Please help me to tell the story about Holy Communion. So the youth and children, please come on up and take a wee seat up here. That would be fab. Thanks very much. So to tell the story, First of all, I need someone to be God, and I've had a wee chat with Robin beforehand, and Robin is willing to take the responsibility this morning of being the Lord, God. And then we've got an Adam, and then we've got an Eve, and let's see, we would need to have a Peter, and would someone willing to be Abraham, and then Moses. That is brilliant. So, this morning we're going to talk about why we celebrate Holy Communion. It's also called the Lord's Supper, and it's a long and wonderful story, but we're going to tell it much quicker than it actually happened. So first of all, we need God up here. So come on up, the Lord. Brilliant. That's super. Hold your sign up. That is super. Doesn't fit you? Is this too big? Well, we'll put it at a jaunty angle, the back of your head. Tell it I haven't practiced this fully. Hold on a second. That's a bit of a problem, isn't it? Okay. Let's see what we're going to do. Think on your feet, Nigel. Think on your feet. Okay. Can you hold the crown?
Yes.
Great. You hold the crown. And tell you what, rather than have the Lord, we'll have the crown. Whew, that was a close one, wasn't it? Okay, so that's your symbol of authority. And God is so powerful that you created everything with just a word. And the first sentence that we know that you said was,
"Let there be light."
Let there be light. And when you said that, when God said that, everything started to come into being. And the last thing that you made, again, by just speaking, was Adam and Eve. So we've got Adam and Eve. Please come on up, Adam and Eve, to stand beside the Lord here. And there was a beautiful relationship between Adam and Eve, the first man and the first woman, human beings. And God made them a beautiful garden in which to live. So come on down, Adam and Eve, into the Garden of Eden. And this is, imagine it with these lovely faces, this is the Garden of Eden. And so, that's it. Come on, Adam. That is brilliant. So, Adam and Eve are in the Garden of Eden. And the word Eden, the name Eden, means delight. So it's the Garden of Delight. And the wonderful thing is, there's a perfect relationship between the Lord and Adam and Eve, and between Adam and Eve. So come on down, Lord. And you're going to walk in the Garden of Eden. So down the wee center there, that's brilliant. And Adam and Eve are going to walk with you. And it is paradise on earth. Just stop there, please. That's it. Stop there. Stop there. And so this Garden of Delight, and the Bible describes it in a wonderful way. It describes this relationship between Adam and Eve and the Lord like walking in the garden in the cool of the day after a hot, sunny day. Do you remember those hot, sunny days? Remember those? Well, in the evening after a hot, sunny day, just imagine the cool breeze and everyone is walking together, talking, and there's this beautiful relationship. But then something awful happened, a very bad thing happened. Adam and Eve decided that they could do the job of being in charge better than anybody else. And so they went their own way. So Adam and Eve, could you go and stand just over there, please? And the Lord, you want to go with them, that's good. But actually, you're going to come and stand over here. And that was a very sad moment. And it meant then that there's a big gap between the Lord and between Adam and Eve. And that was the sound that makes us know that things were not good. Did you notice in the video as well, there was a big sort of feedback moment as well, which was the Judas moment. There's a theme here. So Adam and Eve and the Lord are separate. But the Lord really longs for a relationship with Adam and Eve. But in this sadness of leaving behind the Lord and leaving behind the beautiful garden of delight, Adam and Eve experience something they've never experienced before. They experience sadness, arguments, thorns, pain, and death. That's sad. But the Lord, in his goodness and mercy, decided that not only would there be death, there would also be births. So people, come on down. Join Adam and Eve, everybody. Come on down. And the Bible says that all of us go the way of Adam and Eve. And then you all come over here. The Lord stays over there. And so we're going to go on a journey. You're part of the people here, Mel. So, I've heard of photobombing, but you know. So, you stay there. Now, the Lord really wants a relationship with his people. And so he decides that he's going to start a new plan to unfold. And so he calls out Abraham. Can you shout Abraham, please, Lord? Abraham. Don't go down there just yet, Abraham. So Abraham is going to lead the way. And God said to Abraham, I'm going to bless you because you trust me and you know that I'm good. So I want you to lead your family, which is getting bigger all the time, and I want you to lead your family, and I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make you into a great nation, and I'm going to bless every other nation and every other family on earth through you. So Abraham, come on ahead. Everyone follow Abraham on this journey to Canaan, the promised land, and we get as far as here. And as we do, the Lord goes alongside, halfway down, Lord. Just stay there. Brilliant. That is fantastic. Now, to get the rest of the journey, the Lord brought them into Egypt. So the people go into Egypt, and then the next stage is they become slaves in Egypt. The Lord works in mysterious ways. And to bring the people out of slavery in Egypt, where it was really, really hard work, you had to build bricks in the hot sun. There were no days off, there were no holidays, and there were very hard slave drivers. It was a miserable existence. And so the Lord wanted to bring... Look snappy, Lord, look snappy. Come on, up a wee bit, up a wee bit. There's the Lord is always alert. He never slumbers. Psalm 121 says... Psalm 121 says he never slumbers, never sleeps, and never leans up against pillars. So, I would like you to call Moses. Call Moses.
Moses.
Good. Stay there. Brilliant. So where's Moses? Fantastic. So everyone follow Moses to here. Brilliant. So there is Moses, people of God. And to bring the people out of Egypt, the Lord sent 10 plagues. And the reason why he sent 10 plagues was because he wanted to show the world that he was more powerful than the gods or the so-called gods of Egypt. And so he called Moses, and the last plague was the plague of the firstborn of every firstborn son in Egypt dying when the angel of death passed through the land. All the plagues were terrible, but this was the worst plague. And so the Lord said to Moses, tell every family to take a lamb and look after a lamb, and then on a certain day to sacrifice it and be fully dressed and have your staff in your hand and your sandals on your feet. Because on that night, I'm going to deliver you out of Egypt, out of slavery. I'm going to bring you to a place of freedom. And so the Lord told Moses, he told the people, and then on that night, the firstborn son of every family in Egypt died, except for the Israelites. And they were told to put the blood of the lamb around the doorpost of their house, so the angel of death would pass over them. And that's why we sometimes hear the word Passover. And so, Moses then led the people out into eventually a land of their own. And every year, the people celebrated the Passover meal to give thanks for the fact that they had been set free and no death had come to their home. But if you notice, the Lord and the people are still a long way off from each other. So the Lord then did something that was very surprising. He laid down his crown, and he was born as a human being. Come on, Lord. That should be the one time where I say something like that, like give the Lord instruction. So, have a wee seat there, please, Lord. I should say at least please. And then the people come. Come on ahead, people. And please have a wee seat round here, because this is how God then said, I am going to have it that I'm back with my people and they are back with me. And that happened by the Lord putting aside his power, his majesty, his privileges. And can you remember the name of the person who God became? Jesus. And so Jesus went around doing good, healing people, and telling people about the love of God. And he had 12 apostles, and one of them was called Peter. Could I have Peter please stand up? Thanks, Victoria. And Peter walked closely with Jesus, and he said, I am going to follow you wherever you go. And he did some amazing things. He walked on water once with Jesus. But he wasn't able to go to a place where Jesus was going. So the Lord Jesus, please stand up here. You put your arms out. Because this was the master stroke of the Lord's plan. He said, no, it's okay, it's okay. Unity, there's unity at the cross, there's unity at the cross. So brilliant. So you stand there. Is it your birthday tomorrow? Isn't that wonderful, isn't it? That is a brilliant thing. No, come on back, Lord, come on back. So brilliant. So the Lord gives his life on the cross, and the reason why he does that is because his blood is going to be like the blood of the Passover lamb that is going to bring freedom and is going to save our lives. So Peter tried to come where Jesus was, but he wasn't able to come until Jesus died on the cross and then he rose from the dead. Can you put your hands up like that? And I think we should all go, hallelujah. One, two, three, hallelujah. I think we can do better than that. One, two, three, hallelujah. One more time. One, two, three, hallelujah. And do you know what happened whenever Jesus poured out his Holy Spirit? It meant that because of his love and death and blood, and because of the Holy Spirit, everybody was able to come up and to be with God. Just the way Jesse has already shown us this is done. So come on up, everyone up, to be with the Lord. And whenever Jesus ascended into heaven, he was given his royal authority and power to pour out his Holy Spirit and to bring us all into the kingdom of God. I think we should give him a round of applause. Well done, team. Brilliant. Fantastic. Well done. Now, please have a seat for a moment around this table. So we are now going to move to scene two. And scene two, let me just pull out a wee bit. Scene two is us as apostles around the Lord's table. So can we have a wee seat or a wee kneel? And a wee space, there's a space for everyone around the Lord's table. So make a wee space there for Robert and Jesse. So what happened next was, before Jesus went to the cross, he celebrated the Passover meal, just as the Israelites and Jewish people celebrate every year. And so he, at the Passover meal, took bread, he gave thanks to God, and then he broke it in little pieces. And he said this, "This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then they all ate bread and shared the Passover meal. And then he took the cup. Now, at that time, the Jewish people would have drunk from the cup not once, but four times. And they always drank it from the third time after the supper, after they'd eaten the meal. And so the Bible says that after the supper, Jesus took the cup of wine and he drank from it and gave it to them. And he said to them, "This is the cup of the new covenant between God and his people. an agreement confirmed in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. And the thing is, drinking from the cup the third time in the Passover meal is the cup of freedom. It's the cup whenever the Jewish people celebrate the fact that God brought them out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery, and set them free. And Jesus chose the third drinking of the cup to say after supper, this is the cup in my blood. And so what he was saying was, this is the cup that brings you freedom. This is the cup that brings you life. Now, for the first Israelites in the land of Egypt, they were just so glad to be free from their slave taskmasters who whipped them and beat them and made them work as slaves. But what Jesus has done is he's freed us from the slavery to sin. And that means he's freed us from the most awful taskmaster of all. And you know what the biggest surprise is? You know who the most awful taskmaster of all is in our lives? Ourselves. Our selfishness and sin. And Jesus has set us free from the hardest taskmaster of all, our own selfishness and sin, and brought us into the wonderful place of freedom. There's three words going to come on the screen, and this is what Holy Communion is all about: remembering, meeting, and telling. For those who are older here and know about the RMT Union, that's the way to remember it. RMT, remembering, meeting, telling. And so the first thing we do at Holy Communion is we remember. We remember the Passover, we remember the freedom of the Israelites, and Jesus made the meal his own, saying, this is my body. And then it's meeting. We meet with God because Jesus Christ is alive, and there is nothing better in life than meeting with God. Has anybody here ever eaten a meal? And you've eaten a meal, so do you ever need to eat again? Yeah? Do you think you'll maybe eat again sometime in the near future? The thing about Holy Communion is that it's not a once-off. Because just as our bodies and our stomachs need to be fed, so do our souls. And our souls are fed by meeting with God our Father. And he nourishes our souls by pouring his love into our hearts so that we can love each other and we can love other people and so that they know that we belong to Jesus by the way we love each other. And that's one of the wonderful ways that we tell other people about Jesus Christ. So our Bible reading said that we eat and drink this meal until the Lord comes again. Because there will be a day whenever we don't celebrate Holy Communion anymore. We celebrate this today, and some of you will be having bread and wine. Some of you will be having grapes. Many of you will be having grapes until you come to be confirmed at year 10 or older. We're really looking forward to a confirmation service with the bishop in about 9 months' time. And for adults and those in year 10 and above, if you want to be confirmed, if you've been baptized and like to be confirmed, then we really look forward to that. And do talk to me afterwards or sometime in the next few weeks if that's something you'd love to do. But even if you're part of the family of God as a baptized person and you receive a grape, you are also declaring that Jesus Christ's death and resurrection has brought us back into the kingdom of God. So that's what remembering, meeting, and telling are all about. Now we're going to move to scene three. So could I ask the Lord to stand at the front here and all the people down to the back, please? You can leave your signs behind. And could I ask, please, sir, could you take that and spread it out and let everyone grab a piece at the back? And if you're going to stand here, Lord, and I think you're going to have a wee mate with you as well. So come on and stand here. If you stand here, please, the Lord, that is super. So you are there, the Lord Jesus, and we're going to show people what the Bible says the final scene is in terms of why we would stop celebrating Holy Communion. So has everyone got a piece of the white sheet? And I'd love you to tell me afterwards if you can guess what this looks like and feels like. And we're going to have some special music. And as that starts, then if you come up and stand here, let's roll the music. That looks like or feels like? Some help from beyond, please. A wedding. It must have been a while since we've been at a wedding. We've had that piece of music by Richard Wagner. And so, the people of God, the Bible says, are the bride of Christ. And what Jesus Christ has done on the cross is he's brought together a marriage between heaven and earth. And the last book of the Bible, Revelation, particularly talks about what it's like whenever Jesus the Lord, as the bridegroom, is united with his bride. And his bride are the people of God. It's you and me, the baptized family of God. We are the people of God. And so the Bible says that in this place, when Jesus returns, because he's coming back, there'll be no more tears, there'll be no more pain, no more death, no more arguments. It'll feel a bit like the Garden of Eden, but the Bible says even better, it'll be a garden city. It'll be even more beautiful. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise that you and Jesus Christ have brought around a wonderful union, marriage between us and you through the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. And we give you thanks and praise that we are free from slavery to sin. We've been set free and made new. Our lives are secure in you now and always. We are forgiven and set free and filled with your Holy Spirit. Lord, meet with us today by your Holy Spirit, and strengthen us to know that we are yours now and always. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give our actors and crew a round of applause. Brilliant. Thank you very much. Thank you so much. Shall we all stand together? We're going to sing. The band are going to come up. They're already there. Happy days. And let's sing together. Lord, we declare that you are worthy. And amazingly, Lord, you have made us worthy. You have declared us innocent through the blood of the Lamb. You are the true Passover Lamb. And Lord, we thank you that we meet with you today. Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Father, Lord of all creation, we praise you for your goodness and your love. When we turned away, you did not reject us. You came to meet us in your Son, welcomed us at your table, and prepared a feast where we might share with you. You shared our life that we might